Between college and vet school, I worked at the Mill Mountain Zoo in Roanoke. As the days grew shorter and the winter winds moaned across the mountaintop, our creatures kept to their warm bunkers and the zoo closed down until spring. We keepers kept busy with enrichment programs in the community, visiting schools and, on one occasion, a church. The Pentecostal pastor in Christiansburg was trying to revive his congregation and planned a sermon on animals. Could we, perhaps, bring one of God's creatures to church? Intrigued, I agreed, and we settled on our crowd pleaser, a raccoon named Merlin. We arrived early that Sunday morning and set up Merlin's large, open wire cage on the table provided right up front. There was no altar, just a small cross applied to the plain white wall. When folks had settled into their pews, the pastor exhorted his flock to avoid the ways of the wicked and seek redemption before it was too late. Wool gathering, I was unprepared when he turned and pointed with a flourish of his beefy hand to Merlin. Loudly he proclaimed that the dumb beast had no soul and could not ever hope for heaven. I was stunned. Theologically, I had been so sheltered that I didn't realize some people still believed such things. Professionally, I was offended. It had not occurred to me that I was invited to provide a prop for such an outrageous idea. Obviously, I should have given more thought as to the possibilities of a sermon on animals. Still, years of sitting in church pews on Sunday prevented me from interrupting and contesting the pastor's claim. I ground my teeth and waited for the sermon to end. Oblivious, chubby Merlin enjoyed breakfast. Turning his mass toward the congregation, he patted, rolled, and dunked his food into his water dish with clever paws, popping treats into his mouth, his silver coat and ringtail gleaming in the overhead lights. The pastor continued to talk about how humans, having souls, could and should reach for salvation. I simmered, but I had underestimated Merlin's heathen soul. Suddenly, he paused in his feast, hunched himself up, and deposited a steaming pile in the center of his cage. As an editorial comment, it was without par. Children began to giggle as their red-faced elders tried in vain to shush them. Relieved of his burden, Merlin became abruptly playful. Roaching his back, he began to boogie around the mess, calling even more attention to the foul deed. Adult titters were now audible. The smell began to permeate the small white church, and the kids began to squeal. I don't recall the end of the sermon. I will give the pastor credit for nerves of steel as he concluded his service standing next to the offensive cage without acknowledging the situation once. At long last, I accepted his brief thanks and gravely collected my pagan, hastening to the zoo truck before bursting out laughing. Coincidence? Probably. God at work? Possibly. Has Merlin a soul? I think so.